And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Great being with you today. We're going to be examining today and, well, we'll probably do it a few more times in the future leading up to the big November elections of 2008, which will crown the next president of the United States, who will be inaugurated as president in Washington, D.C. on January the 20th, 2009. And things are already shaping up. We've had the first big Democratic Party candidate debate on television. And bring on the clowns. The circus is in town. And just last night, we had the first Republican a party candidate. You know, I can't even get my words after watching it last night. My mind is totally scrambled. I mean, oh brother, the first debate of the Republicans was held. MSNBC, I think, sponsored it. They were in South Carolina, and boy, did they make fools of themselves. Every one of them, except two exceptions, I might add, and that would be Representative Tom Tancredo of Colorado. He is a staunch advocate of the U.S. Constitution. And boy, they hate him because he keeps exposing how his own party, the Republicans, are backing the illegal alien invasion of America. Tom Tancredo's got the statistics and the facts, and he's out to stop the illegals from coming in America, and the Republican candidates overall, they can't stand the guy. Oh no, they say. We can't have a guy that obeys the immigration laws. And then there's Congressman Ron Paul of Texas, of Sugarland, I think. Yeah, might be down there in near Houston, Texas. He's a medical doctor, tremendous man. He understands the dynamics of the world economy and the how the Federal Reserve is just a sham. Of course, the Republicans don't like him either. He's not part of their little boy Illuminati network. And Congressman Ron Paul did a fantastic job. He and Tancredo, true patriots, constitutionalists, the rest of them, folks, they are all a bunch of baloney. Did you know that at the last moment, the South Carolina Republican Party informed Congressman Ron Paul that he was disinvited from the debate? Yeah, what happened was the internet, though, went abuzz with this, and there was a clamor, and thousands of emails rushed in, and they changed their mind. But the very day of the debate, I'm sure he'd already flown into town. He was ready to go. He was one of the, 9 or 10 candidates on the debate up at the dais, up the platform. And suddenly his representative gets the word, you're disinvited. Didn't give any reason other than to say he really is not a major candidate. Well, they were forced to let him in because of the insistence of people out there that want fairness. I'm surprised they let Tom Tancredo in, also from Colorado, congressman. But these are the only two that I would vote for. And after you hear about these candidates, we're going to talk about these candidates today. I want to give you sort of a real quick overview and guide to the Republican Party candidates today. But first, I want to sort of look at the umbrella of this. Look at the structure of this. See, you have to understand, candidates don't just pop up by themselves. They have support bases. And today, the major candidates, you know, the ones that are mentioned all the time on CBS and ABC and NBC and CNN, New York Times, and all the media, Associated Press, they have to be part of the Synagogue of Satan approved network. You know, it's sort of like submitting your membership card to the Communist Party or the KKK or the Nazi Party. You have to be approved, and they have to look over all of your credentials and make sure you go along with the New World Order, globalism. You have to go along with wars, nonstop wars around the world to fight so-called terrorists that mostly don't exist. You have to be willing to sacrifice American men and women, fighting men and women, to death. You have to be ready to fight for Israel, a glorious, all-out war to kill Arabs and, Palestinians and anybody else that would oppose a greater Israel world empire. And if you meet those litmus tests, then okay, you'll be mentioned. Otherwise, they'll never give you any publicity. They'll squeeze you and drain you, and why, you're not a worthy candidate. You're a fringe candidate. Now, right now, they approve people like former Governor Mitt Romney of Massachusetts. He's a big kiss-up to these men. John McCain has always been a kiss-up. And so is Governor Tommy Thompson of Wisconsin and, all of the people. We'll mention a lot of the guys as we go along and give you an idea. Rudy Giuliani, man, what a Zionist kiss-up that guy is. Besides being a transvestite queer. You say, well, wait, he just married. In fact, he had a divorce. Well, have you ever heard of something called bisexuality? Bisexuality? He dresses up in drag. The guy is a drag queen. You say, Tex, you don't have any evidence of that. Of course I do. I have pictures. I have evidence. I have his own statement. He admitted he had been living with a man for like 3 years. He broke up with his wife there in New York City, and he moved in with a homosexual. But when he was questioned about it, if it was found out, well, Rudy says, we're not sleeping together. I sleep on the couch. The mayor of New York, he doesn't have enough money to get his own apartment. So for 3 years, he sleeps on the couch in the apartment of a homosexual. Oh, yes, we can believe this man. I mean, here's an honest politician as president of the United States. I think I'm going to be publishing some pictures. I've got some very special photos of Mr. Giuliani. I think I have at least three pictures of him in women's clothing. Oh. He even dressed up in drag at a gay parade and marched in it. Well, it was all for jokes. It was all for fun. Yeah, well, if you can come up with some pictures of Tex Mars dressing in drag at a gay parade, would you please let me know? It's just a thing that every politician does, right? Tex Mars, he does it all the time, right? Oh, man. But let's look at first and consider the fact that these men are all controlled. It doesn't matter that they're sexual debauched perverts. None of this matters that they're liars and manipulators and Machiavellian frauds, as long as they're approved. As long as they're approved by the elite. Manly P. Hall, 33rd degree Mason, Scottish Rite Freemasonry, Mr. Kleinneck, the Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry, said that Manly P. Hall was the greatest Masonic scholar of the 20th century. Let me tell you what he said a little bit about the invisible powers behind the scenes that make politicians, the so-called great men of this earth, into nothing more than marionettes. Puppets. He says the ancient initiates, the ancient initiates are the invisible powers behind the thrones of earth. And men are but marionettes, dancing while the invisible ones pull the strings. Of course, these initiates says Hall, are part of a worldwide mystery religion that is over 6,000 years old. They go all the way back to Babylon. And of course, the ancient initiates, to be invisible in one sense, these also are demon powers. They possess the elite. And they consider the thrones of earth, those who occupy the thrones of earth, nothing more than dancing puppet dolls. They pull the strings, says Hall. He talks in his book about an invisible college, a fraternity of hidden ones. Skull and Bones is like that. Bohemian Grove is similar. All of these secret societies elevate the ones that they see are most malleable, the ones that will do their doing. And the ones whose minds have already been programmed to obey the dictates of the elite. They become then, once they're in office, whether it's as mayor or senator or congressman, president of the United States, secretary of defense, whatever it is, they become little dancing puppets while the elite and the devils behind them pull the strings. Let's go to some computer terminology. They become virtual presidents and other politicians. Virtual. What does virtual mean? It means he's not a real person. Virtually he is, but he's, you know, like almost, just like a similitude, but similar, you know, having certain characteristics, but not fully what that office would seem to indicate. So we have virtual reality in the computer age. And you know, today with computers and laser equipment, holographic images, you can literally create men. I was watching a show recently where they created an image from a video actually of a famous singer. I think it was Elvis Presley. And they took this image out of the video by computer with very advanced software. And Elvis was catapulted onto a new stage right out of the old, 30 year, whatever it was, he died, video. And there he was singing side by side, supposedly, with a modern day singer. How can that be? They use holographic technology. At an international auto show in Detroit a few years ago, General Motors was able to create a brand new automobile on a platform. But they had newsmen and journalists go up and put their hands and try to touch it, but they couldn't. It was a light. It was a projection of light. They even made the wheels to spin. It appeared that it was running right there in place, of course. If you looked and didn't look, you know, every which way, you would say, that's a real car. And they made it run right there on stage. But it wasn't. It was a holographic image, which of course brings into a whole play of ideas in our minds, like Revelation 13 talks about the image of the beast that will be worshipped in the last days. And in fact, it says through satanic powers, the image will walk and talk. Huh. They can do that nowadays. You worship not just the beast, but the image of the beast. And that image seems to be alive. Virtual reality, virtual people, virtual presidents. You know, they say that they have these pornographic things now on computer, and that someday they can actually project, I don't know, like a woman or a man, handsome or whatever, and they can sort of appear to be right there in the living room with you. And I guess you put on something over your head, and I don't want to get into all these things, these goggles, but I suppose they're coming up with all these crazy things. You can take a trip, you know, to over to France or to England right here in Toledo, Ohio, and they use virtual reality. Of course, this is great for the kids that use these hideous, satanic, kill games, toys and such. And it's very shameful. But you say, Tex, come on now. Virtual presidents. I'm not saying they're going to have an image, a holographic image as a president. I'm saying that similarly, in a way, we can sort of use that to consider what presidents already are. They already are not real people. They are puppets. They are made to do whatever their puppet masters tell them to do. So in effect, they are. Just as you can take they took that automobile, or you can take a virtual man in a computer image and make its arms move, make an astronaut, you know, jump into a cockpit and fly up to space. You can create real people and turn them into robotic people, into puppets. Can I prove that's being done, that they so control the minds of men, these politicians, that they have become today virtual presidents, virtual senators, puppets, robots on a string, dancing marionettes? Sure. Well, how can I prove it? Well, let's just go to one of them. Let's go to President Bill Clinton. I know he lies a lot, but every once in a while he tells something that's true. I think this is true. Bill Clinton, while on a visit to Ireland over in Europe, made the following startling admission as to who really makes the decisions in the world. Listen to this. He says, quote, now this is off the cuff. It wasn't a written speech. He wasn't, you know how Bill does. He's so brilliant, he just sort of rattles stuff off. You know, said Bill Clinton, by the time you become the leader of a country, someone else makes all the decisions. You may find you can get away with virtual presidents, virtual prime ministers, virtual everything. I'm going to read that to you again. It's so dramatic. It's so incredible. Remember, here he is sort of off guard, speaking to a crowd in Ireland. Maybe never thought he'd get back. But of course, we have people like Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, who put it in his latest book, The Synagogue of Satan, on page 243. And you can order the book, Synagogue of Satan, right here from this ministry. And you'll find out a lot more about these virtual presidents who are pulled around and told what to do. Little bitty tiny robots by the elite. You know, says Clinton, by the time you become the leader of a country, someone else makes all the decisions. You may find you can get away with virtual presidents, virtual prime ministers, virtual everything. I remember one president said, you know, I think it was Dwight Eisenhower. He was a 5-star general. He was head of all of our European forces in World War II, but he became president. He says, you know, it's not like when I was a general. There, I just told people what to do and they did it. Here, I give an order and nothing happens. They do what they want. Maybe that's the reason why President Reagan, during that assassination attempt, he was in the hospital. We didn't know, but it was a very serious thing. He almost died. Back at the White House was the guy that was with the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, Chief of Staff, Alexander Haig. Most people have never heard the name Alexander Haig, but he was the Chief of Staff. He said, Americans, don't worry about anything. We're in charge here. We're in charge here. But wait, didn't we have a vice president? What do you mean we're in charge here? Who is we? Appears that Ronald Reagan was just a virtual president. But he looked good. He was charming, personable. What an actor he was. Hey, you have to admit, if I could choose all the presidents who I would like to go have lunch with, other than the early presidents and such, you know, who I think many of them were great men, I might choose Reagan. At least it'd be a nice, friendly chat, a lot of fun, probably tell a few jokes, and he'd probably offer me a few jelly beans, as he always offered a guest in the White House Oval Office. Well, anyway, oh, boy. In The Midnight Messenger, my good friend Des Griffin, he's author of many great books. We offer several here. He writes this on page one. He says, it would be naive to believe that much will change when the new Congress takes office. Political reality 101 indicates just more politics as usual. Both parties have basically the same agenda. As Dr. Carol Quigley, remember him? He's the guy that Bill Clinton said was his mentor, his political grandfather at Georgetown University when he was a student there. As Dr. Carol Quigley astutely observed more than 40 years ago, in elections, American voters are only allowed to exchange one bunch of rascals with another bunch of rascals. Under either party, quote, policies are no longer subjects of significant disagreement, but are disputable only in details of procedure, priority, or method. Now, this is from Carol Quigley's, boy, really revealing book, Tragedy and Hope, published by Macmillan, way back in 66. It's gotten worse today. They're all sold out, says Des Griffin. Sold out and controlled by the globalist international bankers and the secret societies. Even Patrick Buchanan, he's part of the system. Let's face it, come on. He savaged the Reform Party, killed it in the bud for the big boys. Took it over and then just killed it. He worked down in the basement as communications director for Nixon. And today Buchanan drives Mercedes, gets his $1 million salary for all of his appearances on MSNBC and CNN and so forth, writes a political column. Of course, he appears to be our friend, but he's not. Listen to what he says, though. The two political parties, he says, they are two wings of the same bird of prey. Now let's go back to the synagogue of Satan that controls these parties. There is no doubt that Zionists move seamlessly and almost effortlessly between the two parties. See, this is the Hegelian dialectical. They set up two opposites. You think they're opposites. Like the left wing and the right wing. Boy, they just jaw on television. You think they're, man, we have a real political system here. We can either vote left wing or right wing. We can vote, you know, Democrat or Republican. We've got it made in America. But remember Patrick Buchanan, who's one of them. He's been right there. They're two wings of the same birds of prey. So we've got to understand, you can't place these people in a certain camp. They may appear to be that way. That's why the Council on Foreign Relations, is it a Republican group or a Democrat? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Gerald Ford was a member. But wait. So was President Senior George Bush. How can that be? If they're a globalist organization whose goal is a new world order, and now they're pressing for a North American union and the dissolution of American sovereignty, surely only the Democrats do things like that. Don't believe it, folks. Don't believe it for a minute. I like what old George Wallace used to say. Now, I didn't agree with his racial politics, but he was a pretty wily, shrewd character in a lot of ways. Looking at the two political parties, he said, not a dime's worth of difference. Not a dime's worth of difference. Oh, of course, we have changed that today, folks. It's not a peso's worth of difference. You see, you have to get used to this new vocabulary, or should I say, not an amaro's worth of difference between the two political parties. The amaro, of course, is the new currency. The Democrat-Republican CFR wants to give us. By the way, Trilateral Commission, Republican or Democrat? Neither. What about the Society of the Americas? Same. It goes on and on. Skull and Bones, John Kerry was a member. But wait, George Bush Jr. He was a member too. They're all in it together, folks. They're the approved candidates. They are a bunch of rascals, but they're the approved candidates. Recently, I read an article from Touched On magazine, made a solid point. It said God is neither blue nor red. You know, the blue states are supposed to be Democrat. The reds are the one that voting-wise goes Republicans. God is not a Republican or a Democrat was the theme for a forum, said it. The very liberal, by the way, Trinity Church, Broadway, Wall Street in New York City recently. But here are some of the speakers. There was Jim Wallace, who's nothing more than a socialist communist Democrat, editor of Sojourners Magazine, a Masonic publication. But hold on! Dr. Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention was there. You know, I think it has something to do with the fact that Jim Wallace, supposedly a religious clergyman, who's a Mason, of course, Freemason, there he is at this seminar. They're admitting a little bit, aren't they here? God is neither blue nor red, neither Democrat or Republican. So says Jim Wallace, the Communist Democrat Party member of the CFR. And then Richard Land, also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations of the Southern Baptist Convention, says, amen, brother. By their fruits you shall know them. They're working together. Chuck Baldwin, a pastor, radio show host, wrote an interesting article recently. Presidential front runners, he says, would surrender America's borders. All of them, except a couple. He says, in fact, virtually every Democratic candidate and even the vast majority of Republican candidates would provide no relief to America's border problems. Folks, you think you got it bad with President George W. Bush? Think we can get another Republican in office that will obey our own, do what the Constitution says, take care to obey the laws of the United States as he gave an oath to do? You think we could get somebody to go along with that? Not according to Mr. Baldwin or Pastor Baldwin. I agree with Baldwin. And he says, yes, this includes Sam Brownback. Sam Brownback, senator from Kansas. And many evangelicals are stepping in line behind him, you know, like a bunch of goose-stepping Nazi soldiers. It includes Newt Gingrich. But he goes on to say notable exceptions include Ron Paul and Tom Tancredo. With Tancredo, he says, being at the head of the class. He says, as far as the push for a North American Union, complete with a NAFTA superhighway and a trilateral hemispheric government, it would be stopped dead in its tracks if Congressman Ron Paul and Congressman Tancredo, either one of those, were elected. But for this very reason, he writes, the GOP machine and the insiders who control it, get that, will never allow someone such as Ron Paul or Tom Tancredo to obtain the nomination. To which I say, amen. Now, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back, look a lot more at the candidates. What do these people really believe? McCain, Giuliani, and all the rest of them. And why will nothing change no matter who gets into office? This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, dear friends. This is Tex Mars again. You know, if you don't have my book, Codex Magica, by now, well, I sure hope you get it. Because it proves the point we're making here today that there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two political parties. You're going to find Bill Clinton, but also George Bush. Gerald Ford, but also, you know, Harry Truman. All giving secret hand signs. Some satanic. Secret society. You'll see them exchanging handshakes. You'll see top religious leaders, Catholic, Protestant, left wing, right wing. And I will expose the fact in this book, Codex Magica, that they are members of secret societies. Some of them are members of the same secret society. Are they not all birds with the same motives? Of course they are. They're all in it together, folks. Believe me. They speak the same language, the language of the Illuminati. And much of that language is hidden. And many of these men are actually performing satanic rituals in plain sight. Why do they do it? Well, there's much more going on here than you may imagine. Magic. Megalomaniacs, yes, they are, but anyone would have to be to think that by using symbols and hidden language and hand signs and handshakes that you could change reality. But they believe that. Nevertheless, they believe it. Codex Magica has 624 pages, over 1,000 photos. It's a very expensive production because it's as big as Austin, Texas, or, you know, some other phone book. It's a huge book. I know you need this book. You've got to have this book. One of the more important books I've ever written. My good friend Alex Jones says it's the most vital, the most powerful book, I think he puts it, that I've ever written. Let me tell you how to get Codex Magica. You can order it from our online websites. That would be powerofprophecy.com or conspiracyworld.com. And it'll be right there on the homepage for you. At the same time, you can call us toll-free during the work day, Monday through Friday, 1-800-234-9673. You can write to us, send us a check. The price of this now is $35 at $4 shipping and handling. Say, Tex, that's a little steep. Well, it's a big book. And in any case, I don't get royalties on this book. All the money goes in the ministry. And how do Wanda and I get paid? Well, we wait usually about every 6 months or so and look at how the ministry is doing. And we pay ourselves if the ministry is, you know, if we're in the black somehow, then Wanda and I get paid. Some of it we take from your gifts. And so when you give gifts to this ministry, you may be paying the salary. We don't really call it a salary, but that's what Wanda and I get to live on. So think about that when you give gifts. But we just plow everything back in. Some people think we're a little dumb. You know, even back during the days when we used to be a nonprofit organization, the IRS just gave us an audit, and they cleared us. They you know, gave us a bill of health on the audit. The only thing they didn't like was what we were saying. The IRS said, you guys are just fine on your financial, but wait, you can't be saying these things. That's why we decided, you know, even though everything remained the same, they came in, they audited. They told us they didn't like our philosophy and viewpoints, our opinions. We told them, well, too bad, we're going to keep it up. And they said, well, okay. And they left. A little bit more to it than that. We had to go to court and tell them to get off our backs. And they didn't want to go to federal court with us. So, you know, they sort of, let's just say, they rode out of town at sunset. And we were left with our nonprofit tax status totally there. And by the way, that's some rumors you hear on the internet. Boy, that Power Prophecy had its tax-exempt status taken away. Baloney. Never happened. Hey, why don't you go to the IRS and ask them? And they'll tell you. No, when the IRS was all finished with us, we had our tax-exempt status. Everything was just fine. We didn't owe 1 cent to the IRS. Not one. Our books, our financial books were right in order. But there was that little nagging thought in my mind. The IRS says, You've got to support public policy. You can't be exposing politicians. You can't be talking about the Masonic Order and the Illuminati. You've got to be a good little boy, or we may come again. That's the way they do nonprofit organizations. They control you, you see. Well, I decided, hey, you can take your old nonprofit status and stuff it. Even though we still had our nonprofit status, we voluntarily said, take it. We don't want it. In fact, what we did was set up an entire new organization, Power of Prophecy, that is totally unconnected to the IRS in terms of nonprofit status. Now we have to pay taxes like everybody else. And you know what? I don't mind. I don't mind. If we make a profit here, we'll pay taxes. We don't usually make a profit, but when we do, we will pay taxes on it like everybody else. So we don't go begging to the IRS, please let us be tax exempt. We'll be good little boys and girls. We're not going to do that. Let me tell you something, friends. We are a politically incorrect ministry. We do what God tells us to do, what our conscience tells us to do, and we're going to support the truth. And I appreciate your support. I've never had one person write me a letter or phone me or email me and say, Tex, because you're not tax exempt, I can't get a tax deduction. So we can't give to you anymore. Hey, Sandra is correcting me over here. She says there actually is a person. You mean, in all, this has been how many years now since we've been, 7 years since we told the IRS they could take their taxes out and they could go ahead and tax us because we weren't going to go along with their supervision of our preaching. There actually has been one person. Okay, I'm corrected. One person in 7 years out of how many hundreds of thousands around the world read our website and everything. Okay, that one kicker in there. And you know what? I feel sorry for that person, man or woman. I don't care to know who it is. I don't track people like that. They're not my enemy. I love them anyway, but that's very sad. Okay, our address, $39 postpaid for Codex Magica, is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. By the way, on the internet, you go Google up Tex Morse, you're going to find a bunch of people. Google, they're run, I believe, basically by organizations like the ADL, Jewish ADL, and Jewish APAC. And boy, they put all the bad stuff about Tex Morse right up front. And I think out of the first five websites, two are by witches. They're witchcraft websites. Now, they don't say we're witches, but you have to do a little checking up. And they created these websites, you see, the witches have. And they make up the most preposterous things about me. I mean, the next thing I'm going to read probably is Tex Morse has a harem and takes heroin. And, you know, he once had an affair with the famous nun's name? Not Mother Angelica. Mother Teresa. Tex Morse once had an affair with Mother Teresa. I don't know what they're going to say about me next, but, I think I like it though. I like it. I like it when these people come out with lies like that. You know what? It shows we're having an impact. When they have to create dummy websites, witches, you know, I'm not going to tell you the name of them, but when they have to create dummy websites and pretend to be, you know, like the American Freedom Movement that's not one of them, but Religious Unity Incorporated, and they make up dummy websites like that, you don't know that it's some high priest of the pagan church of Satan, you know, in Missouri or somewhere. And they just say these things. Now you can sue them. You can spend all your days. They'll make up another website after that. There's thousands of witches in America. I think the best thing to do is just go on with your business. Let God. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, folks, he that digs a pit shall fall into it. And I'm not going to have 20 teams of lawyers out there working to stop liars. Hey, I'm just going to go right on. Some people say, Tex, you can't do that. People believe these things when they read them on the internet. Well, that's very sad. That's very sad. Do some fact checking, folks. Find out. If somebody says Tex Moores once did something wrong and the IRS took his tax exempt status away and wouldn't give it back, why don't you go to the IRS? Don't believe these dummies. Go right to the IRS. Write them a letter. Ask them. Okay? Ask them. Maybe they'll tell you. If they don't, write me. And I'll, you know, say I'd like to have more information. I'll have my attorney write you. I'll have my CPA write you. But don't believe these liars. But you know what? Again, it's a sign that they are worried. They consider America, Tex Moores and Power of Prophecy a threat. One of these organizations said, one of these witches groups said, Tex Moores is the biggest danger to the First Amendment in the United States. Say what? I don't care about witches. They can speak whatever they want to. They can go out on the public streets handing out brochures and literature. This is a free country. But you and I should also have the right threat to free speech, to make up dummy websites, making up lies about people. That is a threat to free speech. And by the way, I don't mind anybody saying Tex Moores believes this and quoting me accurately and then saying he's a sensationalist, he's a nut, he's a kook, he's wacko. And you know, I have a lot of people say those things. I like it. They are thrilling the cockles of Tex Moores' hearts by coming against me. Why? I believe Christian men today must be ironed men. There was an old poem one time, folks, and I'm off on a tangent. I think by Mother Shipton, about 200 years ago or so. She said, once upon a time, ships were made of wood, and men were made of iron. But today, ships are made out of iron and men out of wood. Be an iron man, won't you, folks? You'll be more happy. You'll be blessed by God. And maybe we can turn these things around and change things. This is Tex Moores. Let's return now to our regular program, Power of Prophecy. You know, we're going to be introducing you to some men who definitely are not iron men. I don't even think they're made of wood. They're straw men. Their heads are full of straw, as T.S. Eliot, the British poet, talked about in his famous poem, The Hollow Men. Their heads are filled with straw. Why? Well, maybe it might be the money they're getting. I recently got a list a good friend of the ministry sent me from the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs. And it had a list of all the congressmen who have received contributions from pro-Israel political action committees. In other words, the Zionist lobby. You will be amazed. And as I looked it over, I found out the ones that are getting the most money from the Zionist lobbies are the very ones that support all of the Zionist causes, like Bush's bogus war on terror. You know, like, let's go kill all the Palestinians. They're worthless anyway. You know, let's massacre 100,000 Palestinians a day to keep the devil away. That's sort of the motto of these people. They're beholden to the Zionist lobby. Let me give you the names of some of these people, just the Republicans. I found that, for example, Senator Jeff Sessions, these are all Republicans now, of Alabama, almost $200,000 he's received. He supports the Zionist causes. I mean, this guy backs Israel more than he does America time after time. No wonder. $200,000. A spigot of money. John Kyl, K-Y-L, Senator from Arizona. Hey, Senator John McCain, he's received $164,000 from these Zionist groups. Then there's Mel Martinez, Senator from Florida. There's a Congresswoman Ileana Ros-Lehtinen, who, by the way, is Jewish. She's received $115,000. Oh, let me quickly go over this list. Senator Mitch McConnell, I think he's the Republican minority leader now in Congress, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, old Mitch, Let's go kill an Arab today and make our heart bright and gay. Mitch McConnell, $375,000. Man, get a position as high up as the Republican minority leader, and the big cats of the Jewish lobby will reward you. There's Senator Susan Collins of Maine. There is Senator Conrad Burns of Montana. Senator Benjamin Nelson, he's a Democrat, of Nebraska. All of these people, big bucks from the Jewish lobbies. Then from the National Prayer Network, got this article. My good friend there, Ted Pike. Harmony Grant, woman works with him there, and boy, is she a great writer. National Prayer Network. She writes an article, Congress, New Knesset for Zionist. It's the parliament of the Zionists, she says. She says, although Jews comprise only 2% of the U.S. population, there are now 30 Jews in the House and a record 13 in the Senate. 1,000 to 1,500% greater than their numbers in the population. Is that fair? Is that fair? Blacks don't get that kind of representation. Mexican Americans don't get that kind of representation. Irish Americans don't get it. German Americans, so on. But Jewish Americans, so-called, although many of them love Israel more than America. She says, she asked the question, who now controls the International Relations Committee with jurisdiction over all of U.S. foreign relations? And of course, this North American Union and all that coming up. Why, it's Congressman Tom Lantos, Democrat of California. He is not only Jewish, but he's the biggest Zionist monster in the world. And I call him monster without being guarded about it. She says the power of American Zionists in our Congress is confirmed by Jewish sources themselves, and she names different organizations. Then she concludes, she says, our foreign policy in the Mideast will grow only more destructive unless the Zionist lobby and Zionist politicians are recognized as primarily loyal to a foreign power, Israel, not to American interests and our troops who are dying for Israel in Iraq. But there's more than just Middle East policy involved, friends. We're talking about this border policy too, the border control, the immigration issue. You see, the Jews want a new world order without borders. And then they, because they control all the money and the corporations and so forth and the media, will have total control. If they can wipe out the borders, how much easier to control people? And thus their Jewish utopia can be brought into existence. They don't want, for example, English to be the official language of America. Why not Spanish? Why not other languages having equal authority? They recently cast a vote in the Senate to make English the official language of America. You may say, I thought it already was. No, not really. It's getting more Spanish every day. Might be eventually all the stop signs and everything will be in Spanish. Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who would possibly vote against making English the official language of America? Well, let's just name some of these stooges of the Zionist lobby that did such a horrible thing. Almost every Republican in Congress did. That's who. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then how about the vote to give aliens, illegal aliens, Social Security? They say our Social Security fund is running out of money. Oh, we're going to have to raise your payrolls, the taxes. We're so sorry, but you know, we're just giving out so much money in Social Security. We can't afford it anymore. It's gone. It's, man, we're in the red. We're drowning in red ink. The working men and women citizens of America are going to have to pay more into the Social Security funds. And, you know, you may not know it, but if you're 30 or 40, 50 years old, you can't retire at 65 anymore and get full Social Security benefits. It's 66. It's 67. They've raised the years on you. Now they're wanting to raise them again up to 70 in Congress. The Fed Reserve Chairman Bernanke said, it's a crisis. We got to do something. Bush says, maybe we'll have to privatize it all. Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. They're running out of money, but wait. Tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars over the next 20 years are going to go to Mexican citizens, illegal aliens. Who would have done such a horror to us? Who would have scammed America? What kind of monster would do this to we who have been living here? Hey, folks, I've been paying into Social Security since I was 15 years old. And now they're going to give what I paid in to people who aren't even American citizens. And by the way, they've been doing this behind their backs to Pakistanis and Indians and Bangladesh citizens and Germans and French and all that and Israelis for years. But now they've added the Mexicans on to the gravy train. Let's name some of the Republicans that would do such horrors. Senator McCain. He wants to be president. Jerry Falwell says, I love this man. Invites him to Liberty University to speak. Together again? Yeah, they're together again. Senator McCain voted to give illegal aliens Social Security. Senator Brownback, the other Christian evangelical hero. Thank you, Senator Brownback. Or is it Brownback? I can't remember which. Senator DeWine of Ohio. And of course it goes on. Senator Spector of Pennsylvania. Senator Chafee of Rhode Island. Senator Graham of South Carolina. Senator, you know, the list. Senator Stevens of Alaska, all Republicans. Martinez of Florida. These people make me sick. Traitors. That's what they are, traitors. Well, let's go. Let's see what evangelical Christians are doing. Do they support the laws against illegal immigrants? Not on your life. Here is Jerry Falwell in his robes. Oh, yes, he's wearing robes. Happy together, says the Newsweek article. There he is with Karl Rove, one of the most dishonest, lying politicians, the brain at the White House. Picture of him. Then this article from U.S. News and World Report, who will Christian evangelicals support? Keeping the Faith is the name of the article. McCain, he says he wants evangelical vote. Now, during the election, when he first ran against Bush running for president six, 7 years ago, he was asked about evangelical Christians. You know what he called them? Agents of intolerance. He called us agents of intolerance. He didn't think he needed Christian votes. But old George Bush got the vote because he cozied up to the Christians and made a bunch of lies like, I was saved under Billy Graham. What a bunch of hooky. But it doesn't matter because now old Senator McCain's joined it. Mitt Romney, he's a Mormon, doesn't even believe in the true Jesus, believes in another Jesus. Get my book, New Age Cults and Religions. It'll tell you what horrible heresies the Mormons are into. But he's been being supported by many Christians. It says here in this article, Romney, that's Governor Romney of Massachusetts, has picked up key support among many evangelicals, including Jay Sekulow, who runs the Christian legal group, the American Center for Law and Justice, founded by Pat Robertson. Romney's campaign has been courting James Dobson, the nation's most politically power evangelical leader. He even recently sat down with Dobson and they, you know, had a little chit chat. The problem is that as governor, Governor Romney supported gay marriage. Well, why wouldn't he? He went out on the street as governor of Massachusetts when he was governor and he helped to hand out pink colored flyers saying, your Governor Romney supports gay marriage. pink flyers, sheets to hand out to people, letting the gays know, I'm your man. Or is it, I'm your half a man? I don't know which. Mixed man or whatever. He also supported abortion. Pro-choice. But by the way, he says, now, you know, after thinking it over, he's changed his mind about those things. Oh, yeah. Just like Tex Mars has changed his mind. Now I think the devil is pretty and nice and sweet. You just know I do. McCain says, I'm pro-abortion. Pro-life. Oh, yeah, sure. But, of course, he's not for a national amendment to the Constitution to stop abortion. Let's leave that to the states, he says. Yeah, it's sort of like, the, you know, yeah, I'm against it, but, you know, we don't want to change the Constitution to limit what the Supreme Court does. Oh, boy. Oh, my. Then there's Rudy Giuliani, queer boy himself, transvestite himself, pro-abortion, pro-gay. It goes on and on. And then as far as pro-war, Dr. Richard Land, at center of just war debate, says a Baptist Press article, let's kill more of those guys. Republicans, Christians, oh yes, killers. But wait, Rick Warren says, I'm for peace. He's even established an organization called Peace. Who's backing Rick Warren? A Jewish billionaire, Bill Gates. You say, that can't be. Yeah, well, just read hearscopeblogspot.com. Bill Gates funds Rick Warren. Bill Gates is funding Rick Warren's global peace plan. And he goes on talking about how Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is giving millions of dollars to Rick Warren. Oh. By the way, Jonathan, I think it's spelled, it's pronounced Chait, or maybe Kait, or Kiet, C-H-A-I-T, the New Republic, a big socialist Democratic Party publication, who wrote an article, you'll like this, friends, this is in the Austin American Statesman, but it was editorialized nationally in the press. Mr. Kiet says, McCain's a weasel. That's because he's been cozying up to the evangelical Christians recently. You know, before we were agents of intolerance, but now he's cozying up to us. So this made this Jewish man, Kiet, this socialist Democratic Party guy, he says, McCain's a weasel, but he's my weasel. The Democratic Party is still supporting McCain. And, of course, he's for the war on terror. George Will, a big Zionist lobby member, writes columnist nationwide, why McCain might be it. By the way, John McCain derived his wealth from his marriage to Cindy Hensley, whose father started his road to riches as a bootlegger. And, of course, he's a member of the Illuminati elite himself. Well, it goes on and on, friends. Rudy Giuliani. You don't believe me about Romney. Even the Boston Globe newspaper, a liberal publication, says Romney spinning right after turning to the left. And it notes that he distributed pink flyers at a gay pride parade. This is from the Austin American Statesman, November 29, 2006. Folks, I can go on and on about this. They're marionettes. They're puppets. And there's not a dime's worth of difference. Except maybe for Tancredo and Paul. Hey, you've been listening to Power of Prophecy, and my prayer is that you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.